Heads up.
I'm calling Malala.
Whatever you need me to do, I'm available.
Coming, my sweet.
We're going on a road trip.
Caustic wit is my religion.
I like this one.
Well, that's because I'm rich.
It gets bigger.
Whatever you do, do it 100%.
Smile and put on a happy face.
We've passed on all we know.
She could be an Avenger if she tried.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, dear.
The movie news.
Look at me.
With Garrett Davey.
Close your eyes!
Garrett, good afternoon. Where are we starting today?
We're starting with Diane Warren because Paramount Pictures have acquired an untitled musical drama feature conceived by Diane Warren based on her original music catalogue with a few new songs as well.
She's so, quite the kind of queen of the power ballad. I mean, we featured her Oscar nominated song this year, I'm Standing With You. But she's quite a catalogue, hasn't she?
Quite a catalogue. You know, a lot of awards down through the years, member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame, won a Grammy, an Emmy, a Golden Globe, nominated 11 times for an Academy Award as well. I mean, you know, themes like Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now from Mannequin, Because You Love Me from Up Close and Personal. I mean, lots of them down through the years. She's written 9 number one songs, 32 top 10 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. In the 1980s, she became the first songwriter in the history of the Billboard magazine to have 7 hits, all by different artists, on the single chart at the exact same time. So there's plenty of material there. And obviously, if there's new songs as well, that will be interesting.
That'll be quite the soundtrack.
So Paramount Pictures have a good one there.
All right. We're staying with musicals as such. What's happening with Little Shop of Horrors?
So they're doing some casting at the moment. And Chris Evans is in negotiations to play the dentist, Oren, in Little Shop of Horrors, which is a new adaptation of the cult movie turned Broadway musical as well. Greg Berlanti will helm it for Warner Brothers. The story follows Seymour, a sort of meek florist under the thumb of the owner, but he's also secretly in love with his co-worker Audrey. And Seymour becomes a celebrity when he discovers a Venus flytrap looking plant that he dubs sort of Audrey 2, but his life becomes disastrously complicated when the plant demands to be fed human blood and eventually people themselves.
Yeah, some of the songs are a hoot because it's, I mean, the great songwriting team of Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, suddenly Seymour being one of the big numbers. But any other cast members mentioned?
Well, they're talking about Taron Egerton and Scarlett Johansson kind of circling the roles at the moment.
Sounds good.
Seymour and Audrey respectively. But Billy Porter has signed up to be the voice of the plant.
Brilliant.
So
that's a good
casting as well. And of course, there was the 1986 film that Frank Oz directed.
Yes.
And like so Steve Martin played that role in it. But yeah, as you said, lots of great songs. It's going to shoot this summer, but we'll keep you posted as more casting is announced.
Great stuff. Now, Cate Blanchett and Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix have acquired a sort of a series that ABC have made in, it's a 6-part series in Australia, and they've acquired all the global rights to it. It's called Stateless, and the series follows 4 people caught up in an immigration system that severely impacts their lives, with each character confronting issues around protection and border control in a different way. The 4 characters include a flight attendant on the run from a cult, an Afghan refugee seeking a new life with his wife and 2 children, a young father of 3 struggling to make ends meet, and an ambitious bureaucrat caught between professional ambitions and a national scandal.
Wow.
So all their 4 lives intersect. There's a good cast is in it. Like I said, Blanchett is in it. Dominic West is in it as well. Jay Courtney. And I suppose the immigration and refugee crisis has been an ongoing issue in the likes of Australia, which has not a great track record in terms of how it has handled refugees. And I suppose that's why ABC saw it as a good project to make. They're going to air it in Australia March 1st, and then Netflix will release it everywhere later this year.
All right, we're staying with Netflix for one more and a little 80s nostalgic art.
Yeah, there's a TV series on there. A series on there called The Movies That Made Us. And they've announced that they're going to do a second season. So anybody that's watched it so far, it's this docu-series, it sort of explores beloved 80s movies. And in the first series, they did Die Hard, Ghostbusters, Dirty Dancing and Home Alone. So I think people will be delighted that they're going to do a second series because it's light watching.
Yeah.
It's the same company that made The Toys That Made Us. So you've got The Movies That Made Us and now season 2.
Sounds good. What about Creed 3?
Yeah, they've got a writer for it. So it's 2015, actually, when we were first introduced to this sort of boxing drama spin-off. Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan revitalized it. They even got Sylvester Stallone an Oscar nomination for the first movie. The second one didn't go down as well. It probably had something to do with the fact that, you know, Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan were probably working on Black Panther, and that probably took a bit of attention away. But Zach Baylin is set to write this one now. Interesting thing about Zach Baylin, his screenplay King Richard, which appeared on The Blacklist in 2018, is currently in production. That's the film about Richard Williams, the tough as nails tennis coach father of the tennis superstars Serena and Venus Williams. Mm. So Will Smith is leading that film. And yeah, so he's kind of got this sort of bit of heat around him in terms of a writer.
Yeah.
So they've no director yet for Creed 3, but they don't have a shooting schedule either. But we'll keep you updated on that. But it is happening.
All right. You have a Broadway story for us. When I was in New York late last year, one of the theatres that had a big queue constantly around the corner was for To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, when I was there, Jeff Daniels was about to finish playing Atticus Finch. Ed Harris was taking over, and we have a new name attached.
We do, Greg Kinnear.
I like the sound of that. I like Greg Kinnear a lot.
So this was adapted by Aaron Sorkin for the stage. It's quite staggering, actually. You know, as you see, you've mentioned the cast that there's been there, but it's now becoming the top grossing American play in Broadway history.
Gosh.
It has sort of weekly grosses averaging about 1.5 million. It's earned a staggering 118 million to date. Shows no signs of slowing down. The production recouped its entire 8 million investment in just 19 weeks after its official opening back in December 13, 2018.
It's an interesting one for Greg Kinnear. I mean, I loved him in As Good As It Gets. Loved him in Little Miss Sunshine. They're definitely two of my favourites of his. He's a great actor.
Yeah, and
he's
Oscar nominated for As Good As It Gets as well.
Super in that.
Yeah, good choice, I think.
Very good choice. Another actor, Eric Bana.
Yeah, he's going to write, co-direct and star in a feature film based on Mike the Bike Hollywood, regarded as one of the greatest motorcycling racers of all time. So Bana is going to pen this script. He's going to co-direct with Robert Connolly as well as star in this. It's a script that sort of centres on Hollywood returning to the Isle of Man race in 1978 after an 11-year hiatus. The late Brit became one of the greatest motorsport racers ever after winning the Isle of Man race, one of the most treacherous, really, 12 times. And then he retired at the peak of his career in 1967 and died in 1981. At the age of 40. So the Australian actor made his directorial debut with a documentary in 2009 called Love the Beast, in which he actually explored motorsport and his love of motorsports and its connection to his first car.
Very good. We have a couple of home news stories. Quick look at the IFI and then to Limerick.
Yeah, so the IFI have announced great plans for the year ahead. You know, they've got a lot of different things on. They've got a season of works that will feature Federico Fellini, Catherine Hepburn, Bob Fosse. This is sort of great. They've got a lot of you know, screenings to showcase around that. They have their open day as well. They'll do Irish filmmakers, of course, will form part of some of their programmes. They'll have events in collaboration with the Women in Film and Television, a public interview with Oscar-nominated filmmaker John Borman as well, plus a collaboration with the Pan Pan Theatre Company in late July to coincide with the Beckett Summer School. So an awful lot going on at the IFI. So meanwhile, in Limerick, we're going to have the inaugural Catalyst International Film Festival, which is going to take place at the Bell Table from March 20th to the 22nd. This is a programme that prioritises stories and storytellers currently underrepresented on screen and behind the camera. They'll have screenings, Q&As, lots of discussion as well. Go to catalystfilmfest.com for all the information on that.
Okay, quick word on Trailer Watch.
Yes, so this is the movie that opened the Dublin International Film Festival the other night. And of course, do check out all the films that are screening as part of the festival. This is Vivarium, and this is about a young couple looking for a perfect home, find themselves trapped in a mysterious labyrinth-like neighbourhood of identical houses. Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots star in this, but it's going to be out March 27th. Check out the trailer first.
All right, new releases in cinemas this weekend. This one is creepy and I really liked it.
He has figured out a way to be invisible. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He's not dead. I just can't see him.
Okay. Now, I agree with you. Adrian was brilliant, but it wasn't because of anything he invented. It was how he got in people's heads. You think about it. He came up with the perfect way to torture you, even in death. Only thing more brilliant than inventing something that makes you invisible is not inventing it, but making you think he did.
He's not dead, Tom.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth Moss is so good in this. She is just perfectly cast, I have to say. It's a powerhouse performance.
Now, you don't go for the thrillers that often or the
scary movies. It's interesting. No, I don't. I was a little bit, I was tense for the entire thing. I will say that much. But it's more thriller than horror, you see. It really is. It's more of a really good thriller. If you think of Sleeping with the Enemy and ramp it up a few notches in terms of scare factor, that's the kind of film it is. And I thought it was really well done. I mean, a few plot holes here and there, but it was very good, I thought. That's The Invisible Man. Now, we also have Downhill. This is a remake.
This is a remake. Force Majeure was the original film. So this is about a family who are sort of escaped this avalanche during a family ski vacation. And they're thrown into disarray, really. And they're forced to reevaluate their lives and how they feel about each other as well.
So, now, you saw Force Majeure, which I didn't. And I've seen Downhill. And I think if you've seen Force Majeure, apparently you're not going to think it's as great. But people are saying, it's not as bad as you think. And having not seen the original, I thoroughly enjoyed Downhill.
Well,
you know,
you
perfectly enjoyable time at the cinema. Well
Julia
cast.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
she's
Miranda Otto and Will Ferrell starring in it.
Yeah, we need a bit of comedy right now.
There you go.
So good luck to Downhill for a bit of a laugh, that's for sure. What else have we?
We have a good few movies. I'll just quickly mention a few others. Colour Out of Space stars Julie Richardson and Nicolas Cage. It's about a family relocates to a countryside in the hope of a happier life. But when a meteor crash lands on their property, it brings with it a mysterious alien force that infects and mutates everything around it. It's actually based on a novel. We've got Dark Waters, which is set between the 50s and the 90s. It's based on a New York Times magazine article. And it follows a corporate lawyer working for his big law firm as he embarks on an environmental lawsuit against one of the world's largest corporations, the chemical company DuPont.
Yeah, this is Mark Ruffalo. He's really good in it. It's sort of, if you like Darren Brockovich, it's a little bit more seriously taken even than that and there's quite a bit of sort of chemical jargon and legalese in it, but it's an important story and it's affecting all of us. So it's one of those. That's Dark Waters. And another one to mention?
Yeah, finally, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. A lot of great reviews for this. It's done quite well on the festival circuit as well. But it's about a painter who's commissioned to paint the portrait of a young woman who is in an arranged marriage. And of course, as this relationship begins, their friendship develops into a great love affair. Lovely looking film as well.
Yes.
It's a great response to that.
Yes,
as well.
I'll talk a little bit more about it when we check out the very, very interesting score for Portrait of a Lady on Fire a little later on. What TV movie are you recommending, Garrett?
So this movie's on Monday night, but it's about an arthritic Nova Scotian woman who works as a housekeeper, and while she hones her skill as an artist as well, she eventually becomes a beloved figure in the community. Nice movie. Sally Hawkins, Ethan Hawke starring in this. It's Maudie, and you can watch it on TG Cahir. It's on Monday night and it's at 9:30.
That's a great suggestion. I loved Maudie. Look forward to seeing it again. Garrett, thanks a million.
Thank you.